Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
New polling out on the PRO Act. Support very strong, especially with young workers. Why the people at the post office are smiling now. And today on the show, the latest from the Ohio Federation of Teachers, and we check in with Smart Local 110 in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to the Tuesday, September 20th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. Melissa Cropper, longtime contributor and supporter of America's Workforce. On behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, she'll be our first guest. oh.aft.org is their website. Melissa is also a secretary treasurer of the Ohio AFL-CIO. She's got a couple things we're going to get into right away. Number one, the Confetti Project. Last week, a delegation from the American Federation of Teachers, which included Randy Weingarten, along with Melissa, visited the Buckeye Junior High School in Medina, Ohio, to learn about the Confetti Project. Now, what is the Confetti Project? Well, students, here's what they do. They select an inspirational book on the topic of their choice. They read the book. Then the student meets with a staff member in the district to discuss the book and attempt to create a relationship with that person. It's direct communication, and a lot of this has to do with anxiety, which pretty much came to light with the pandemic. In fact, a recent survey by the Ed Week Research Center found that 44% reported their level of social anxiety, this is students in schools, had increased since the pandemic. 43% reported a higher level of loneliness. So that's what this project is all about. Get some conversation going. Get an inspirational book. Talk about that book. Zero in on one person. And apparently, it's working. We'll also talk about a resolution which was introduced at the State Board of Education. One of the members introduced a resolution that would strip Title IX protections from trans and non-binary students and force teachers to disclose to parents anytime a student questions their gender identity and requests alternative names or pronouns. The teachers' union feels that this is going to cause a lot of disruption in schools, if there's not enough disruption going on right now. Then we're going to get into organizing wins. Last week, votes were counted in the union election for teachers and staff. This was at the School of Bright Promise. And this is part of the Jefferson County Board of Developmental Disabilities. And it was an overwhelming vote, something like 22-2. And they voted for the union. This is the fifth group of workers to win a union election with the Ohio Federation in the past 12 months. And they're moving toward an agreement on voluntary recognition at the Grandview Heights Public Library. Melissa comes from the Library Association, and she's been really, really doing a great job reaching out and organizing those folks. And if we have time, we'll talk about teachers' pay. There's some new data that came out courtesy of the Economic Policy Institute. Great organization, epi.org. Teachers last year, 2021, earned 23.5% less than comparable college graduates. How about that? Now, the EPI has been tracking teacher wage trends over the past 18 years. And here's the rundown. Average weekly wages of public school teachers last year, $1,348, $1,348. Just a little bit higher than $1,319 going back to 1996. In other words, it didn't go anywhere. At the same time, other college grads brought in an average of $2,009 a week last year. Now you know why a lot of teachers are leaving the profession. So depending on time, we'll zero in on that. Benjamin Adams will be joining us later in the show. He comes to us from the Smart Union. That's sheet metal, air, rail, transit. This would be Local 110. Website is smw110.com/WP. And he's going to talk about, well, there's a lot of things going on in Kentucky. Number one, Ford is building a huge battery plant. And in neighboring Tennessee, they're building the trucks where those batteries are going to be installed into. So two of those, I mean, it's something like $11 billion Ford is pumping in to those states right now, which is certainly good news and great news for the trades. And it's going to be all union, too. UAW is jumping up and down on this one. We'll talk about the governor in Kentucky. That's an interesting state. It's a right-to-work state. They have a Democratic governor, very conservative legislature. We'll talk about union density and organizing, which is happening all over the world. Doesn't matter, right-to-work or not, it's happening. So Ben Adams will be our second guest right here on America's Workforce. What's happening in our world of labor? Well, let's find out. This segment on the show brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Remember that, BoydWatterson.com. Some very interesting polling out regarding the PRO Act, or better defined as the Richard Trumka Protect the Right to Organize Act. Young voters in nine swing states with very tight Senate races are strongly backing workers' rights, especially the PRO Act. And this is all according to a new survey, which was commissioned by the Communication Workers of America and done by Hart Research. Support for the PRO Act, listen to this, which is organized labor's number one legislative priority. Now, it did pass in the House, hasn't gone anywhere in the Senate. They still don't have 50 senators on it, but when you talk to young workers and young voters, they want it. They want it, especially those 18 to 39 where opposition is almost non-existent. 85% support. 47% of that 85 strongly support. Only 8% oppose. That's it. Now, when you look at all voters, again, that was 18 to 39. All voters, the PRO Act leads 69 to 20%. Union favorability leads among all voters, 63% to 37%, which is slightly less than the Gallup poll. Gallup said it was about 71%. But among young voters, unions win 80 to 20% in Hart's online poll. The Hart poll also argues that once all the voters are exposed to contrasting party positions on worker and economic issues, they swing from a slight Republican lean on handling the economy overall to a 9-point Democratic lead in generic political matchups. The CWA said the numbers suggest candidates could increase participation among young voters by embracing the PRO Act and focusing on lifting workers' wages. Now more than ever, this is a quote from CWA's Secretary Treasurer Sarah Steffens, now more than ever, young workers see unions as their best shot at higher wages and better working conditions. But until we pass the PRO Act, they are up against employers who are retaliating with impunity. If young workers are going to turn out and vote for Democrats, they need evidence beyond just words of support that candidates are on their sides. Other findings from the survey. The survey is titled Higher Wages and Workers' Rights. And I can only assume this is posted on the CWA website, cwa-union.org. You might want to check that out later in the day. But here's some specifics. Pro-union candidates hold a 61% to 39% lead among all voters, and a 77 to 23% lead among young voters. Strong support to unions, 27% to 16%. That's strong support versus opposition among all voters. And unions also led among all demographic subgroups. The smallest lead was 12 percentage points among whites, just above a 19-point lead among non-college voters. And there's more here. Voters in general and young voters in particular are hostile to overwhelming corporate clout. Almost two-thirds, 64% of all voters, told the pollsters that companies generally have too much power today compared to workers. And they reported that 84% of all voters and 78% in swing states would support candidates who improve wages and salaries for workers so they keep up with the cost of living, as well as candidates who improve health and retirement benefits for working people. Interesting stuff here. Interesting stuff going into the November elections. Members of the American Postal Workers Union all across the country took collective action. This was last Thursday. It was Union Pride Day, which was held to celebrate the union-negotiated cost of living adjustment raise, or COLA, in their paychecks, which went into effect the next day. It was last Friday, September 16th. APW members wore their union gear, snapped pictures of themselves and colleagues, and posted them on social media as a sign of solidarity. The day was also an opportunity for union members to talk to non-member co-workers in their bargaining units and encourage them to become a member of the union. So that was a Union Pride Day. And when you boil all of this down, listen to these numbers here. This is in accordance to the 2021-2024 collective bargaining agreement, where career employees represented by the Postal Workers Union are now receiving a $1.18 per hour COLA, cost of living adjustment. Now, mind you, this is an adjustment to the rise in the consumer price index, one of the federal government's measures of inflation, and it's in addition to general wage and step increases. By the way, it's the second COLA under the union contract. The first was effective, well, let's see, 6-7 months ago in February, and that amounted to 63 cents per hour. Got a comment here from the president of the union. That would be Mark Demenstein, who we featured on our Labor Day show. Mark said, at times of inflation, high inflation, our Union One COLA is invaluable to ourselves and our families. It's always a struggle to keep those COLA provisions. In every national contract bargaining round, management wants to put a stop to it or downgrade it to a partial COLA formula. Well, every postal worker should be proud that we fought hard and prevailed to keep full COLA, a full COLA in our latest contract, approved, how about this, with a 94% yes vote. So you know what? It pays to be union, says Mark Demenstein. And Mark, we agree with you 100%. APWU.org for more on that story. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Melissa Cropper on behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter or do both, AWF Union Podcast. Make sure you get the word union there. Let's go to Columbus, Ohio right now and join one of our longtime regulars. That would be Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. We have lots to talk about today. And yes, we're going to get into teacher pay at the end of this conversation. But first, we're going to talk about the Confetti Project. Melissa, welcome back to the show. Talk to me about this Confetti Project, which I guess you visited a school in Medina last week. Let's get into that. Go ahead.
Yes, well, thanks for having me back on the show. Enjoy being on. But yes, last week, our national president, Randy Weingarten, and I visited Buckeye Local Schools in Medina to look at a project they have called the Confetti Project. I had been there previously and lifted it up to our national because it is such a fantastic project. And basically, the premise of this project is we have an eighth grade teacher there who, coming out of COVID, recognized that students were still dealing with a lot of stress and were not used to actually talking to each other face-to-face again. So to help deal with that, she got a collection of different books that dealt with different topics such as, you know, grief, leadership, inspirational-type books, and allowed students to choose a book they wanted to read, but then paired them up with an adult who was willing to be part of the project also, a teacher in the school, a school board member. We even have bus drivers participating. And just asked the students to read a book and pair up with the teacher and have a conversation with the teacher about it or the adult about it. And it just turned out to be an incredible experience for everyone involved. The students talked about how meaningful it was to them, but the adults actually talking about it got tears in their eyes just talking about how powerful it was to build these type of relationships outside of testing students and drilling students and everything else, to build a real authentic relationship with each other. And so this year they're looking to spread that project even further. They're pairing our junior high students with the elementary students, and then they're looking to go the opposite direction also and pair students with adults in the senior living building in the area. So it's just really a fantastic, exciting project.
So I guess we should give a shout out here to Jody Keith. She's the arts teacher in eighth grade in Medina, and she was pretty much the instigator of this. So hats off to her, and it's great that she was able to do that. Do you know, was there any pushback to start in this direction? Are you aware of any of that, or what?
You know, there was not. She got incredible support from her administration, and Jody is just a phenomenal person. And basically, you know, she pitched to the superintendent and the principal that this is a project she wanted to do about relationship building. She felt like she was struggling herself coming out of COVID, and she just thought, if I'm struggling, the students probably are too. And her superintendent and principal really embraced it, as did other teachers in the district, and as did the school board and community members. Now they're aware that they could potentially get pushback from someone outside of the school, but so far they haven't. And again, it's just been really incredible. I mean, heard one young lady talked about how she chose a faith-based book and how she had never before felt comfortable about talking about her faith in school. She thought she wasn't allowed to. But then realized that she was able now to explore her religion and talk about it a little bit with an adult. You know, another student who had lost a loved one during COVID and paired up with a teacher who had lost a mother during COVID, and how they helped each other through this grieving process. So like I said, just really powerful stories that we think are changing, I don't want to say changing the dynamics of the school, because it's a really tight-knit school already, but deepening relationships within the school and really solidifying that school as, you know, the foundation of the community.
Very creative idea. And keep in mind, those of you listening right now, the student selects the book. They're not forcing any kind of book on the student. They get to pick what they want. And something that's inspirational, something that can start a conversation. And we have to understand that, I always say this on the show, the pandemic has changed everything. in the world. Yeah. And the anxiety level in schools, it's monumental right now. And there's polling on that, too.
Right, and the school secretary is talking about how, you know, she used to walk down the hallways coming out of COVID, and no one was looking up. Everyone was just looking at their, would be embedded in their phones walking down the hallways. And she said now, you know, she's done this project with a couple of students because they do a book a quarter. And she said now, you know, students are looking up and looking in the eye and saying hello when they pass you in the hallway, and it's just connecting people again.
Exactly. Well, you know, people looking at their phones, it's well beyond schools, Melissa.
I know. I might be guilty myself sometimes.
They're doing that on street corners, too, and I fear some of them are going to walk into traffic, so I don't know about that. But anyway, that's another conversation. Let's move on to the State Board of Education here, and we're getting into the culture wars here. Talk to me about apparently there's some policy coming out of Washington, and then the boards is pushing back on it, and this deals with Title IX. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yes, I will try my best. So coming out of Washington, the U.S. Department of Education released some proposed changes to Title IX that basically deal with transgender students. And parts of a deal with transgender students and making sure that they feel safe and protected within our school districts. I mean, this kind of relates back to the project we were just talking about, but, you know, allowing all students to feel safe and welcome within a school and affirming who they are. And immediately the State Board of Education, I shouldn't say all of them, obviously, Brandon Shea at the State Board of Education proposed a resolution that basically tells school districts to ignore what's coming out of the federal Department of Education and to ignore those proposed changes and to ignore all the advice that we're getting about how to deal with transgender students in schools. So it's really, as I said in the testimony I wrote, it's really discouraging and disheartening and actually quite sickening to think that adults, instead of trying to build relationships with students and trying to affirm students and trying to help students discover who they are and feel comfortable with finding a path forward, we actually, you know, the resolution that would do the opposite and to make these students feel even more unwelcome within our schools. So we expect, you know, last I heard, we have about 75 people who have signed up to testify today on this. I'm assuming most of them are opposed. I don't know if that's a fair assumption or not, but we're expecting about 4 hours of testimony today, so it should be quite interesting.
And the vote's going to be coming next month on this then?
Next month, unless they decide to table it or something, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, this is a national conversation. There's no doubt about that. Let's get into organizing, and I'm seeing a couple more wins here.
This is my favorite topic to talk about.
There you go. Okay. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we were just seeing this incredible groundswell of organizing. I mean, not just within OFT, obviously, AFSCME, Local Council 8, and OPEIU, and so many others are organizing too, but OFT has really been on a streak lately. So we just won our election at Jefferson County Development of Disabilities. So that was, I think, our fifth win in the past year. And we're on the verge of winning our election at Grandview Heights Library also. We may actually get voluntary recognition there. We're still holding out for that, hoping that we get voluntary recognition there. If not, we've got overwhelming amount of people who have signed a pledge card to vote yes. So I feel very confident about that one also to give us our sixth victory, and we just keep rolling along. And then, like I said, in addition to us, we've got here in Columbus, you know, AFSCME Local Council 8 doing the Columbus Museum of Art, OPEIU organizing Disability Rights Ohio. It's just a phenomenal groundswell of people wanting to organize in Ohio right now, and we're out here willing to help them do it.
You know, it's funny you bring this up today because at the top of the show, I was talking about some new polling. This is from Hart Research. The CWA, Communication Workers, actually sponsored this survey, and they found, especially among young people, 18 to 39, 85% want the PRO Act the Protect the Right to Organize Act, which is pretty much stalled in the Senate right now. But yeah, when you poll young people, and these are the ones that are getting very vocal. These are the Starbucks, a lot of the ones at Amazon, in those outlets, and they're just sick and tired of the pay that they're getting right now and the working conditions. So it's interesting. But, you know, I just wish, once again, there's that disconnect. What people want and what they get out of the lawmakers, two different things, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And I hope that people remember that when they go to the ballot box. I mean, I was just spent some time last night writing some postcards for Tim Ryan to send to people saying, you know, vote for unions, vote for Tim Ryan, because we need people like him who are going to fight for things like the PRO Act and make it easier for people to do what they want to do, which is form a union.
Exactly. Let's talk about pay here. I came across this story from another great organization, the Economic Policy Institute, EPI.org. And I'll tell you, you and I have had many conversations about teacher pay. I did not realize that it's virtually gone nowhere since 1996. That's a long time. Things have really changed since then. But according to the latest data, teachers last year, this is nationwide, earned 23.5% less than comparable college graduates. So it's no wonder that many of them are leaving the profession. Did you have an opportunity to boil that down to the state of Ohio? Is there any figures on that yet, Melissa?
Yes, they did boil it down, and it was approximately around a 14-15% difference, I believe, in Ohio. Not shocking to us. We've been saying this for years, that our teachers are underpaid. And again, when we're talking about the teacher shortage that we've been hearing so much about, this is a piece of it. It's not the only piece. I mean, teachers have always recognized that they're probably not going to get paid exactly the same as their counterparts, so they look for other reasons to be in teaching. But when you have politicians, policymakers out there passing these egregious laws, and you hear all this slamming happening of teachers all the time, that pay becomes even more important. It becomes that straw that breaks the camel's back. So, you know, we definitely see this difference in Ohio. I definitely think it's a factor in why people are leaving the profession, and I think it's something that needs to be talked about, because too often, I think people are afraid to mention the pay because they're afraid people will look down on them because, you know, you shouldn't be in teaching for the pay. But it's important. People need to be able to raise families, and it is a critical element in being able to attract and retain good teachers in this state.
It's so bad in the state of Florida. Here's the crazy thing. Florida has a budget surplus. It's almost $22 billion, and they are ranked 48th nationally in terms of teacher pay. There's like 10,000 vacancies in the state of Florida. And apparently at some schools, students there are being taught virtually by teachers from several states away. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And also the governor there, who seems to be getting a lot of media coverage for all the wrong things, has signed into law legislation that would allow military vets with no prior teaching experience to go in the classroom and teach. That is a true story then, correct?
That's a true story. And remember, this is a man who, you know, potentially wants to be our next president. So people need to be aware of what kind of crazy stuff he's doing in Florida. You know, it's really sickening. You hear people like him and some of the people in our state who are passing horrible laws talk about the value of education and how important education is. But again, not willing to put that money in, not willing to do the things that teachers say they need to stay in the profession, and instead trying to find shortcuts and sticking just anybody in that classroom. So again, we need to remember this when we vote, that education is really important for our students and for all of us, for our state, our economy, everything. And we've got to pay attention to what these people are saying and doing, and don't just listen to them say education is important. Look at where they're putting their money. Look at the policies that they're passing. Look at what they're trying to do to keep teachers in the classroom, or what they're doing to drive teachers out.
I always say, listen to the facts, know the facts, and avoid the noise, because there's a lot of noise in America today. All right, Melissa, great job as usual. Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. You take care. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and check in with Ben Adams, who is the business manager of Smart Local 110. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, and we seem to be getting more of those. So thank you very much. We appreciate that. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. All right, let's go down to Kentucky, and you can hear this man is driving right now. The union is based in Louisville, Kentucky. We're talking about Smart Local 110. And Benjamin, okay, now your name is Mark Adams, Benjamin Adams, or is it Benjamin Mark? What's the story here with your name?
My name is Benjamin Mark Adams, but I go by Mark Adams.
Okay, Mark. And you say that's a Southern thing. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, sir, that's a Southern thing. You know, as children, they make sure they get the shortest name in your name so they can scream at you, you know, real quick.
Okay. So we'll just call you Mark, but it's Benjamin Mark. All right. So talk to me about your local territory. How many members?
We are all of the west side of Kentucky, all the way from Paducah, all the way up to about Sterling, Kentucky, the eastern part of Kentucky. We do not cover it, but all the way from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state. And we got about 700 active members. And with production, we got a couple of factories that we take care of too, and then with our retirees, we're looking at about 1,300 members.
Oh, not bad. And how long have you been involved with the union, Mark?
I've been in the union since I was 18 years old. I'll be 63 this year.
Oh, my. You definitely a longtime union brother. I like that. That's good.
Yes, sir.
How's your apprenticeship program going?
Our apprenticeship program, we changed up a little bit this year. We are seeing a big influx in our apprenticeship program. We've tried to get more numbers. I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about this battery plant coming up, which is really pushing our numbers right now. But we went from about 65 apprentices a year now to up about 90, 95 apprentices. And we'd like to see it get up for about 120 apprentices a year is what we'd like to see eventually.
So, Mark, what are you doing to, and I want to get into that battery plant. That's huge news for the state of Kentucky, no doubt about that. But what are you doing to attract people to the sheet metal trade?
Well, this year we've added on another organizer to the hall for a couple-year period of time for the sector organizer to help out. We've We've changed our numbers up from the apprenticeship numbers. We've changed it up from three journeymen to one apprentice. Now we're at two journeymen to one apprentice. And just beating the bushes, brother. Just out there doing what you got to do. Unfortunately, I think people forget about, they want to look at the money, they want to look at this, or they want to blame that and this and that. Sometimes you just got to do the work. And the work is just get out there and get after it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How long is your apprenticeship program? Is it like a three-year, four-year, five-year, what?
It's a five-year program. It's a five-year program.
Okay, okay. And you have a pretty good success rate? People staying in it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got a good success rate. We got a good bunch of fine apprentices.
So you talk about that battery plant. Let's get into that. What stage is that? Did they break ground on that yet or what?
They have broke ground on the battery plant. We're talking about I've heard anywhere from 800 to 900 million square foot building. It's supposed to be the biggest building in the United States. But they have started on it. We're looking to get on it to start putting siding on it. Probably the end of December, 1st of January now is what we're hearing. We'll start putting men for that right there. It's big. It's huge, man. They're talking about our numbers being 300, maybe 400 members before it's over with working on that thing right there.
Now are you ready for that? I mean, you got jobs in other areas, I'm sure, but can you handle it?
Hey, brother, we can handle anything. You know what I mean? The philosophy at the hall right now is we don't talk negative about it at all.
Uh-huh.
If you won't get on the manager's bad side, which would be me, would be start talking bad about the battery plant. But yes, it's going to be a big task. It's going to be a big task. But the bottom line is you're not going to do it. You're not going to do nothing by sitting on your toes and worrying about it, sitting on your ass and worrying about it. You've got to get out there and get after it. You know, that's what it's all about. Too. We are stripping from non-union shops. We've brought people in already. We got people loaded up right now, ready to leave and come with us right now. So we're taking key individuals from these other shops and bringing them in and slotting them into where they can go into journeyman, our apprenticeship program, and doing stuff like that. And again, going back to the work ethic, we have got to work to get this done. And I'm personally, people don't understand this. Kentucky is the third biggest automobile plant in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Biggest state. And is the third biggest state in automobile plant. And I come from the automobile plants. And they, right now, automobile plant, when they tell you they want something done in a 10-day period, you better have that done or you just roll your gang boxes up and leave the place. They don't want you no more.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way we're taking this battery plant. There's losing is not no option. Not getting done is not going to be an option for us. That makes sense.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. How long have you been business manager, Mark?
I've been business manager now going on 6 years.
Yeah.
I guess it is. Seven years. Yeah.
Yeah. You develop a pretty thick skin on that situation, don't you?
Yes, sir. I will tell you this real quick. I think you'll appreciate this. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I'm actually from south of Lexington, Kentucky, but I married and moved to Lexington. She got me to Lexington, so I got there. And then the guys, I was getting ready to retire. I was 50 years old working on a job, and I told the guys I was going to retire. And then the guys that worked down there said, oh, no, we're going to send you to the hall. And I said, obviously, y'all have never went to a union meeting because we have a satellite meeting down there in Lexington. But I said, nobody from the hall, we don't have an e-board member, a trustee, a ward, nobody elected official has ever made it into the hall that wasn't from the Louisville slash the counties around Louisville.
Uh-huh.
So one thing led to another. I promised them I would run. So 5 years later, 6 years later, I run. And I mean, damn, there I was standing there as an agent. And so I worked a year as an agent. And then my manager come to me and pulled me in his office. He says, look, I'm retired. Now, I want you to know this man is a year younger than me. But he says, I'm retired. I think you ought to take this position. And in my little mind was, I thought, well, I'll run for this position and they'll put me out and then I can retire again, like, you know, game plan was going to be.
Yeah.
I think everybody stood during the line and I've looked around and everybody made two steps back. And I've been there now ever since as the business manager at Local 110. So that's how I become business manager at Local 110. But it's been a good time, and I think we've got a lot done in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah, I'll tell you, a lot of good things are happening in Kentucky. In fact, we talked to Bill Londrigan. I'm sure you know Bill. He handles the...
Yes.
Isn't he a great guy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you what, and great friend. Yes, sir. He is labor. He loves people, man.
Yeah.
He just takes care of people so well.
Oh, yeah.
We love him.
Yeah, he's 100. Well, we had him on talking about the flooding down there. How is that? Are you near that flooding, or has that subsided some, or what?
Oh, yes. It's the flooding is really the creeks and the river is back down to these pools, but the devastation is going to be with us for years. Between the tornadoes we had in the western part of the state in December 2021, and now the flooding down in the eastern part of the state, we got a lot of people that's really, really had some bad lick here in the last couple of years. You know, we've had some major, major things happening. The flooding is going better. We're working, watching TV, watching the news, and stuff we're sending to people. We're starting to build homes back and trying to get people getting schools back in session and moving kids around to where they're not doubling up in some school. We're trying to get stuff built and get things going for them.
Well, I tell you, the unions have done a great job, and Bill was coordinating all of that. We've had him on a couple of times, and he sent me emails on the solidarity among the union brothers and sisters. You mentioned the sheet metal workers. I know the Teamsters were involved in that. LIUNA members, Laborers International, and I mean that's what unions do. That's what they did the same thing down in Jackson, Mississippi too, and I'm sure they're going to be doing the same thing over in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico got like 30 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. They don't even have any power there. So there's a lot of calamity out there, but that's where unions come together, and that's why we say union strong. Mark, I got to take a quick break. I want to talk more about the good news out of Kentucky and your politics there. I know you're a right-to-work state, but there's organizing going on, as you mentioned. I want to hear more of what you're saying. You're grabbing those non-union folks and bringing them over to the bright side, the right side, I should say. We'll do that next. Mark Adams joining us on our live line, business manager of Smart Local 110, based in Louisville, Kentucky. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Make sure you get the word union in there. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Benjamin Mark Adams. He goes by Mark Adams, and he is the business manager of Smart Local 110. Based in Louisville, Kentucky, they have about 700 active members. You count the retirees, we're looking at 1,300. You're talking about that battery plant. Did I get this? I wrote this down. Let me just go over. Did you say 900 million square feet? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we've been told, that that's going to be the square feet. It's on a 1,400 acre is the building where it's being built. They said by the time they're done building everything out there, that it's going to be 1,000 acres of buildings out there on that, in that area in Glendale, Kentucky.
So talk to me. You mentioned in the first segment about, you know, going to the non-union areas and say, hey, we're going to sign you up. You're going to be union. Can you talk to me about that process, Mark?
Well, I'll give you, for example, without giving any names or anything, but we talked to two young men here, two men here the other day, and they was working for the outfit in that area down there, and we've been kind of targeting them anyway, but in the last little bit, these guys said, you know, man, we've worked through the virus, we've done this for this company, we've done that, and we went in and asked for a raise the other day, and they told us that they didn't have no money for us, knowing they took a PPP loan, you know, so knowing they got the cash, and they didn't give them a raise, and we looked at them and said, brother, we'll get you a raise. And we showed them what they could make and showed them our insurance plan and talked to them about a pension. And they're like, wow, we had no idea, because, you know, we're the big, mean, ugly union everybody talks about. People don't know what – we're the best head, the best secret head. We're just a head secret that nobody even knows about, you know. So they signed with us the other day, and they said, well, we got other brothers in this other good men and women that would work for y'all and do this, and they're going to go to that battery plant for us to work. So once we get started, we're just going to start cherry-picking the best out of the shops, you know. Hey, by the time we do the manpower, we'll cherry-pick everybody they got out of the shop. A little flop for all I care, you know.
Man, I love your attitude. You're salt of the earth, my brother. I love it. I just love it. So how long will that keep workers going down there, that battery plant? You said it's already, you know, it's starting up right now, but as far as construction goes, what's the time period on completion?
They tell us that they want a battery put out of that plant by 2025.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, it's fast paced. It is, as I said, automobile plant a minute ago. They go up fast and they really work fast. But as I've explained to everybody at the hall and talked to everybody too, you got to realize I am a product of Georgetown Toyota plant that started in 1988, and by 1994-95 I was there full time with a crew of men. I mean, maintenance in these things is unreal. They change, they move walls, they move ductwork. You could have a solid crew of men with that big a business. You could have 100-150 people working there year round, all the time.
Yeah,
because that's
yeah.
what kind of job is going to be. So once we get these guys in, and we could have, I know at the Georgetown Toyota plant, we picked up three new companies, three new. One of them was a member owner now. The other couple of guys just become sheet metal company owners, and we picked those three shops up, and now they're big shops in our local now that started back in the late 90s or early 90s. I apologize, early 90s. So there's work to be had once this thing is built all the way around, you know.
That's great. That's very good to hear. Well, not only that, you know, with this virus that's still with us, I mean, it's subsided greatly. I mean, there's a lot of attention nationally that's being paid to regarding ventilation, you know, air conditioning systems. Schools need, you know, HVAC upgrades and all this. So, I mean, and you take a look at all the stuff coming out of Washington, especially like the infrastructure and jobs bill. That's got to be a big boost for Kentucky, right?
Oh yes, just for the United States. We just come back from a big conference here the other day, and our international SMART is just absolutely, they're on top of this unreal. They're looking at all this, and we're looking at all this money that's being appropriated to the schools for changing of units and cleaning stuff up, cleaning your units up that's there, and making them more efficient, making them right, making everything ventilated, and making sure it's clean air, you know, to the students and hospitals and everything, you know. So the day of just throwing something in and just being happy with it is gone.
Yeah,
you know, we're gonna see. I will, as I tell people all the time, I will never buy another new truck. I can tell you that, but I can't wait for the first electric truck that hits the ground, pre-owned. I will own that little rascal myself. You know, I will buy an electric truck.
Yeah. And I bet it's going to be a Ford, right?
I'm more Chevy, man, but I will tell you what. See, if Ford done this, I'll go with Ford.
Okay,
with Ford.
Okay. Well, I figured, you know, everybody's got their preference, but if Ford is building the battery plant, you're maybe a little inclined to go in that direction. But
I'm with, yes, sir.
Yeah, as long as it's American and union made, that's all that matters to me. All right.
That's all that matters to me too. Yeah, and American made. People don't understand, just because sometimes these vehicles are, you got to catch that VIN number, find out what is the VIN number before you figure out where that truck's made at. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the UAW does a great job on that. If you go to uaw.org, they have a list of all, and this is updated to 2023. They have all the union-made vehicles, and they have, like, asterisks showing, you know, some of them, well, they have parts made in Mexico, some in Canada. Now, Canada's pretty pro-union, but there's a couple of non-union areas, and I think it's got to be, like, 75% domestic union. So, I mean, and they change that formula over the years, but they do a great job on that, and it's my understanding, once this plant is built, it's going to be all UAW. So union built, union run. We like that kind of stuff. Okay, Mark, we got a couple of minutes left here. We talked briefly about the policies coming out of Washington. I mean, we've got some good stuff, a lot of money coming out. We're seeing finally infrastructure being addressed in this country. Now, in your state government, you have a Democratic governor and a conservative legislature. How would you say that's working for you?
It sucks. it just sucks. Our poor governor gets beat on everywhere. He has put more industry into our state in the last couple 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Besides this battery plant, we have another battery plant coming in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We don't know all the details about it yet. We get calls at the hall. We get companies call us up at the hall and say, I have one the other day. It says, I'm looking at this big battery plant in the western part of Kentucky. And I go, you mean about central Kentucky? And they said, no, well, we find out we got another plant coming in somewhere in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And we have no idea about it going, and find out that the governor has done worked his magic again and got us another plant. So he's working his tail off to give us good jobs. And these knuckleheads, I swear, they look at these other guys, they look at these Republicans and such, and just go, oh, but they're good old boys, you know. And I go, they ain't doing it but robbing you. They're you know, they're taking care of each other. They're, you know, you can't get a decent road down through the country, you know, here, nothing in it. But then again, they're the best fellas in the world, and they're sticking it to us. But yes, we went right to work. So far, our union, we have not got a member in the last 4 years of Right to Work. We don't have a member. It's not a dues-paying member. I mean, everybody we have pay their dues. So we're just fighting this battle and trying to get it moved back the way it should be here and get it blue. But we have one blue dot amongst a lot of reds.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Well, there's a lot of states in that category, Mark, a lot of them, I'll tell you. Well, I'm not surprised that they're paying their dues. I'm sure you're hanging right over them saying, hey, buddy, get those dues paid, right?
Well, we won't say that we get ugly about it, but we will say that we can speak to them in a really rough way about it. How's that sound?
Okay, you're very, very convincing in a way. I get it. I won't ask you any more on that.
Yes, sir.
Benjamin,
well, appreciate that, brother.
Benjamin Mark Adams, business manager of Smart Local 110. based in Louisville, Kentucky. Again, 700 active members, 1,300 when you count in the retirees. I want to keep in touch with you because you're a ball of fire. I love talking to you. You're old school, and you're speaking the truth. Okay, brother.
I appreciate that. I will tell you this. If you get around to it, come on down, Kentucky. I'll take you out crappie fishing. We'll talk all day about it.
There okay? you go. There you go. I'll take you up on that. Okay, you take care. Stay safe. Okay, brother?
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later then. Okay?
All right. That was a whole lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking to him. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we got the American Federation of Government Employees and the National Treasury Employees Union. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.